For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us here today as we get set to continue our conversation as we meet the Titans 2021 NFL Draft Class. Today we're discussing third round pick Elijah Molden, cornerback out of Washington, and the team used the 100th pick on Elijah. He's a guy that you played against his father in the league. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get into that, though, I want to ask, do you believe? And now a quick word from one of our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. D-Man, I had a really good weekend when we're talking about NBA picks. Things were going very according to plan, at least that's how I'll phrase it for myself. But the NBA playoffs are happening. NHL playoffs, we're now into round two for all of those games. Major League Baseball getting started, getting involved there. Also from a gambling standpoint, if you're looking to kind of get in on the action, Julio Jones odds. What is going to happen for the Atlanta wide receiver? Full disclosure, we're recording this episode on June the 1st. So kind of we're telling you all about that post-June 1st deadline and what that could mean from a salary cap situation and for teams trading for Julio Jones. But safe to say, if news does break, Julio Jones is traded to the Tennessee Titans. We'll be here to give you a bonus episode of Believe in Titans, because that would be huge news to be able to update that wide receiving unit for Tennessee. And so, again, we will keep a close eye on that. But right now, I mean, there's at least been some talk that the Titans have had conversations with the Falcons. Where they stand as far as front runners, I wouldn't exactly call them front runners to land Julio, but they're definitely in the conversation. And I will say, I feel better about their chances today than I did this time when we spoke with you all last week. So not much of an update there, but we should be expecting news sooner rather than later when it comes to the status of Julio Jones and where he will be playing come next season. But moving on to the topic of the day, breaking down the Titans' 100th overall pick, Elijah Molden, out of Washington. We got a guy that his dad, Alex Molden, played in the league for several years. His dad actually played at Oregon.
Yeah, All-American.
What'd you say, D? Talking about this before, and he was the 11th overall pick in the first round of the 1996 NFL draft. So, dad also played the Saints. Defensive back.
All-American at the University of Oregon. He came out when we are the same age. I actually took a redshirt year, so we came in hot in college the same year as in 92. But he was a big-time player, very dynamic, explosive, and how ironic. Some 20 years later, we're talking about his son.
Yeah, Elijah Molden. Hometown out of Westland, Oregon, was a senior with the Huskies, and his dad now is a motivational speaker. Looking into Elijah, I can tell that that is the son of a motivational speaker whenever you look at the leadership qualities that he possesses on and off the field. And this is a guy that I think Titans fans, I understand that this was the second defensive back that the team took in this year's draft. And I know when we kind of go back and we look at where we were at the time of the draft, people were like, man, we really need to kind of do some things at that receiving unit. But I think for Elijah being there with the 100th overall pick and the Titans being able to take him, I mean, this is a guy that could come in and start right away covering the slot at that nickel position. whenever I'm watching his tape, indeed, I will definitely leave the breaking down of the defensive backs to you because I know that's your specialty. But when I watch his tape, the first thing that just stands out to me is he's very instinctive. And you can tell,
yes.
I mean, we just talked about his dad. You can tell he's actually been taught by someone who's played the position before because he understands the game so well. And even though he's a little bit smaller, his measurables came in at 5'9 and a half, 192 pounds. But you look at his measurables, you would probably say that's not the prototypical NFL defensive back nowadays. And that's a fair assessment. That's, I mean, obviously, if you look at what the average length of a and height of a cornerback is in today's NFL, it's not what Elijah is. But that honestly is probably why he slipped to where he did and fell to the Titans, because some teams are going to be a little nervous about his size. But I look at it another way. I view this as a guy that if you take his skill set and you put him in a position that is going to really highlight his strengths, I see this guy being a really quality defensive back for this team. And he's a guy that can come in, and we've not really had anyone play, I know it's not been too long, but I would say the last decade, the best slot, the best cornerback we had to kind of sit in there in that nickel position, cover the slot, would have been Logan Ryan. And I feel like this guy could come in and play a Logan Ryan type role for this team.
Well, let me say this. You know, I love you like a brother I've never wanted. You know, I tell you that every week. And sometimes
I'm well
we
aware,
have a
D.
great relationship. I know. And I still love you. But you, oh, you remind me of a girl I used to date. You always want to bring up these flaws about physical measurements. Physical measurements don't mean nothing, D. How tall you think Daryl Green was?
D, there's always exceptions to the rules. Always exceptions to the rules, but that doesn't stand against the point. Listen, man, I'm just saying why he fell to the Titans at 100. I would have had a higher grade on him.
It wasn't because of his size.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
D, if you take this player and you make him 6'1", I guarantee he's a second-round pick.
Not necessarily, because he should have been a second-round pick anyways. And let me tell you something what the scouts said about him, especially Louis Riddick, who actually played the game. He called him a Jedi. A Jedi in the slot. This is from one of the best commentators. This guy knows football, Louis Riddick. You see him on Monday Night Football all the time. And he loves Elijah Molden. And if I was a scout, hey, let me tell you about a scout by the name of Anthony Trash, who's with Pro Football Focus. And he believes he was a second rounder. And let me tell you something. He might be 5'10", but he plays like he's 6'5". He plays like a man among boys on that field. He is the real deal, and I'm excited to get a chance to talk about him, Dave. Let me tell you something. Throw all the physical measurements, all these physical attributes, throw them out of the door, because the film, it don't lie. I'm telling you right now, I played my favorite player that I had a chance to play with. My favorite player of all time was Blaine the Hitman Bishop. Out of where? Ball State, Ithaca, Indiana. He was a what? Seventh round draft pick. Okay, out of Ball State. And how many Pro Bowls did he make playing for the Titans? You know how many?
I don't know the exact number off the top of my
head. Three. Okay. Pro Bowls. Think about it. 5'7". They call him Woody. You know why he played so hard? Because he had a chip on his shoulder. Because people always told him he was too small to play the game. We see this all the time. We get these guys because they're 6'2". And when you're playing defensive back a lot of times, size actually is a disadvantage. You think about some of the great corners. They were all small. Think about Aaron Glenn, who's now the defensive coordinator at the Detroit Lions, who actually I learned how to play the game. And when I used to look at AG when he played at Texas A&M, you know how tall he was? He'll tell you he's 5'11", but he's probably somewhere 5'9". And he played about 14 years in the National Football League. That's why he went to Washington, by the way. He didn't want to go to Oregon. He's from Westland, Oregon. He wanted to get out of his dad's shadows. His dad was an All-American at the University of Oregon between 92 and 95 and 11th pick in the 1996 draft. Let me tell you something. The way that he raised his son, he plays the same way. Davey, let me tell you something. This is one of the most explosive, one of the most dynamic corners in this draft. And the fact that the Titans got him at 100th in the third round, this is a steal. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I love this guy. You know why? He's all heart. He's instinctive. You said it. You just said it. You alluded to it earlier. He's instinctive. David, you cannot coach that. That's a skill you either have or you don't. And coaches love that. Coaches will always say this. I don't care about your physical abilities. I don't want you to be robotic. And he is instinctive. I watched his games this year and I started sweating, David. I got chills just watching how good this young man is. He is the real deal. And I'm telling you something, Titans fans, get ready for an explosive, a playmaker, an instinctive. He's like, I'm telling you something. He is a 21st century version of Rod Woodson with a little bit of Dion. I promise you, I said it. You could quote me.
D, I first want to start off by saying thank you for making my point for me. I didn't make any negative comments about Elijah Molden. I simply stated.
But you always bring these little things up. You like this girl I used to date.
Dude, listen. I am telling you, and I am spot on as to why he fell to 100. It was because of his size. No. You might disagree, but that is 100%, not 100%. That is probably about 90% the reason why. Whenever you look at what some of the scouts that some of these NFL insiders are talking to, it's like, yeah, it's like if you want to use him in a certain situation, I think he's great. And this is not me going against him as far as being negative, because I really do enjoy talking about this guy. I like this pick. I think he's going to be a really solid playmaker for the Titans. But there's a reason the prototypical cornerback in today's NFL is not 5'9". There's a reason for that. And I know you can point to examples of guys that are outside of that mold. And I understand that happens all the time. And listen, like, stereotypes are meant to be broken. But again, this guy, if he's 6'1", as I said, he's going to be drafted higher. Some teams just want to find that prototypical guy that fits their style of what they want to play. You can say whether that's right or that's wrong, but that there are GMs that do that all the time. And usually those GMs don't have a job in the NFL very long. I mean,
there you go. You just said it. They don't have a job very long.
I know.
There you go.
This, again, like, I'm just stating actual observations on the world. That's not to mean anything. It's not going to be like Rustin Webster for the Titans when he drafted like Dorial Green-Beckham. Like, Dorial Green-Beckham had like all the measurements.
6'5". He was 6'5".
Yeah, he had all the measurements.
Beautiful, beautiful frame. But what happened to the Dorial? What happened to his career?
It was bad.
It was in shambles.
But am I not wrong? I mean, he was a second round pick.
But what happened? What did he do?
Nothing.
Say that again. He did nothing. You just said that. What did he do? Listen, can you say that word again?
He did nothing. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying why this is good or this is bad. I am specifically stating why these guys go where they do in the draft. You look at these test cases throughout the history of the draft, specifically the last 10 years in the NFL, because it's the game's changing. So whenever you're looking at cornerbacks and you're looking at wide receivers, different style than you might have looked at a few years. Obviously, there's always going to be some guys that just stand out. They're going to be great no matter what. They're going to be top guys. But when I'm looking at Elijah Molden, I'm glad that he fell to where he did, because the Titans secondary was atrocious last year. And granted, we talked about how they've completely revamped that unit. This is a guy that's going to come in. They're going to expect him to play specifically special teams early on. He's going to get into that rotation. I am curious to see what this Titans coaching staff wants to do with this guy, because he is more of a hybrid guy that could also play at the safety position. Based off what I've seen him do in college, I project that he'll be playing and covering the slot in the nickel. But Lance Zierlein, do you want to know who his comp was for Elijah Molden? NFL cornerback who's been pretty good. You guys are alumni of the same school.
Tre'Davious White.
Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. You want to talk about a guy?
How tall is he?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
5'10".
Neither here nor there. That's
5'10".
Go check the tape and find where I say a guy that is 5'10" cannot play quarterback in the league.
Terrible couple. We need some counseling.
Check the tape, man. I never said it. I'm specifically giving you the reasons why he is. But anyway, we'll move on. We'll settle this after the show.
No, we're not. We're going to talk about this for a second.
All right. So whenever you kind of break down Elijah's film, we talked about he's an instinctive player. He's a guy that's probably projected to be more in line with covering the slot. What else about his game stands out to you?
Everything.
You got to give me three.
That's points. Why I'm so excited, and we're not going to fight. We're like a married couple. The problem is we've been spending so much time together. I love you, and I'm starting to like can't stand you at the same time. So
I don't even think we're disagreeing on the conversation at hand.
Okay, but let me say this. I want to give you again. I love this corner for Buffalo. Who's the number one corner for the Buffalo Bills? Who would you say that name is? Give me a name. I just said it. Tre'Davious White.
White, yeah.
Do you think he's not an elite cornerback in the National Football League?
I think he is an elite cornerback, and I hope you're not about to just give me hype,
guys. How tall
do
you think he is?
I'm not doing this, E. I'm not doing this, man.
No. You brought it up. We're going to finish this. Come on. Come on. How tall do you think Tre'Davious White is?
I don't know. Probably 5'11".
5'11". Chris Harris Jr. out of the University of Kansas, now who's with the Chargers, undrafted free agent out of Kansas, played a long time in this league. How tall do you think that Chris Harris Jr. is? Who was the standard for a long time for the Broncos? How tall do you think Chris Harris is?
5'9 and a half.
5'10.
5'10, okay.
You want me to keep going on?
D, I never said that there's not exceptions to the rule.
Okay, I want one more guy. Player that I love for a long time by the name of KC Howard, who's a cornerback for the Chargers for a long time. You know that name, don't you? An elite cornerback.
I am
for
aware,
a long
yes.
time in this league.
I'm aware.
Yes. How tall you think he is?
Was he 5'10 as well?
5'11. I give him an inch. Let's just take size and throw this out, because let me tell you something. Physical measurements mean nothing in the National Football League. My favorite player other than Blaine Bishop was the great Barry Sanders, the human joystick. How tall do you think the pride?
It's not entirely true that they mean nothing. I will say they don't play as big of a role as a lot of people would lead you to believe. I can't listen. If a guy misses a ball by an inch and he's only 5'5", I would say, yeah, it's probably an issue. If he was 5'7", he makes the catch. But again,
I went through counseling because about two podcasts ago, we had this meltdown. You gave me, I almost had a meltdown when I got off the air with you, and I realized that I was wrong. So I want to apologize to our fans for us fussing at each other. And I just want to tell all of our listeners out there that me and Davey have a beautiful relationship. And I will say this, let's jump to the film. So when I'm breaking down a corner, because all these scouts, you know what the scouts have in common? They don't make the picks. It's the people inside those organizations that makes the picks. They just give their insight. And to a lot of players, that means nothing. Consider the fact that Denard Walker, of all people, played 9 years and was able to start 4 years when he was at Tennessee. And a lot of those so-called experts said the young man would never touch the field. And he ended up starting 64 games in 4 years and played on a team that went to the Super Bowl and a team that actually the following year won the AFC. So let me just say this, by the way, the film, it doesn't lie. And I'm going to start with this. When I watch Elijah on film, he is so explosive. But the one of the attributes that I love about him is his physicality, the ability to make tackles in space. If you play in space, you got to understand that the way that the offenses are now, you got to learn how to tackle. Tackling is everything. Tackling will actually prolong your career. You may have a problem sometimes covering, but if you're a good tackler, you always find your way on that field. I go back to a game. I like to watch games. I like to watch players. You know why? Players make plays. And every time I watch Elijah, I go back to a game in 2019 against Utah. And let me tell you something. He took a very simple play where they threw a little screen pass and the receiver comes out to block him. Now, when the receiver comes out to block him, he literally just throws the receiver on to the other side of the field and makes a huge tackle. And when he tackles a person, he don't just go up there and just like thud up a guy. He's coming in there to blow you up. He plays with a nastiness. He plays with an aggression. He plays with this tenacity that I haven't seen from a lot of defensive backs in a long time. I mean, when he comes to the party, he's coming to party, Jack. And let me tell you something about him. He is as physical as any defensive back that was taken in this year's draft. When I talk about instincts, when I think about the father of instincts in the National Football League, especially old school players like Rod Woodson, Darrell Green, when you talk about Dion, his ability to bait quarterbacks. But the one player that I love the most is Troy Polamalu. You remember a game years ago in Nissan Stadium when Polamalu jumped over the pile? He was actually blitzing on the goal line and sacked Kerry Collins. You remember that?
Unfortunately, yes.
You did? Okay. Do you think that the Steelers defensive coordinator called that? Or did you think Polamalu just said, you know what? I know the play. I'm going to go and I'm going to make the tackle. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a sack on this play.
I don't think Dick told him to.
Exactly. Do that. Dick LeBeau, you know what? But you know what Dick LeBeau probably said to him? You did the right thing because he trusted his instincts. And that is a gift. That is a gift. And that's what I love about Elijah. He trusts his instincts. Davey, this young man is a three-time All-Pac-12 selection. He is an All-American. He's an academic All-Pac-12. So you know he's smart. And the thing that I love most about him is when he plays in space, he can come out. I watched the game against Oregon State, and they're in zone coverage. Now, when you're playing that inside slot, the hardest position on the field is when you play the inside slot position because you probably have three or four responsibilities. But I love how he's able to pass on a receiver, then redirect to help the corner on a post route on the backside. And then he's able to pick the ball off. And I was looking like, you got to be kidding. How did you know that the backside wide receiver was going to run a post behind you? Davey, that's just instincts. That's a gift. And that's what I love about this young man. Every time I watch him on film, D, I get excited. I don't care if he's 5'2". This young man, he makes plays. He's a playmaker. And so that's why I'm excited. I'm sweating because you know what? This might be the steal of the draft. He is a big-time, electrifying player that's going to bring a lot of value to this team.
When you watch his tape, one of the things you can kind of see is that he's reading the play before it really even takes off. And, I mean, that's one of the things about the great defensive backs in the league. You look at them, and they are – obviously it goes to instincts, but it also just goes to being prepared beforehand. And whenever they're able to notice a few things here or there about – I guess one of the biggest things for Molden is that, I mean, you watch him read the quarterback's eyes. He has a feeling of what the quarterback's going to do before the quarterback even does it. And so, obviously, whenever you're able to do that, it puts yourself in a much more advantageous situation. I really like that with how important it is to cover the slot nowadays, to have a guy with those types of instincts on your team. I'd much rather have it than the other way around.
You know what else, D? I love about him? The versatility. You know why? Look at this. He can play slot. He can play safety. And he can play on the edge. You know what? In some packages, he can play linebacker. You know, and that's what would happen in a lot of packages today. Because a lot of times when a lot of these offenses, they want to spread you out and they want to add these four or five receivers. And you're starting to see a lot of defensive schemes now where you take out a linebacker and you actually add the nickel at the linebacker position because he's actually going to be covering in space anyways. So what you want out there is speed. You want guys that can be able to take, you know, a certain part of the field. And that's what I love about him. The versatility that he adds to this defense. I'm telling you, D, I'm sweating thinking about how good he is. He is a dynamic player. And I'm telling you something. What was once the Achilles heel of this, you know, this team in the secondary, it might be his strongest point coming into 2021 season.
This is a bold prediction right here, but within his first 2 years on this team, I'm going to say that Elijah Molden goes back to the instinctiveness, him just understanding what a quarterback is going to do. I'm going to say he gets an interception off of a wide receiver screen within his first 2 years. Going back to his instinctiveness, just being able to read the play before it happens, getting yourself in a situation where the other team's running a screen like that, you're able to jump that route, just create havoc. I think he's going to be huge. D, I will ask this, though. Obviously, I'm not saying it's a knock. Some people are, but you look at his measurables as we've been discussing. But for things that he can actually improve on, what is an area that he needs to work on to make sure he's able to excel at the next level?
Well, you know what? We don't get a lot of film. Okay, so a lot of the clips that we're able to watch is a lot of YouTube clips. Now, one of the things that all players, is basically just catching up to the mental part of the game. That's the hardest part. And that's what every player has to learn when they get to the National Football League. They have to learn how to adjust on the run because you're going to see more packages. Okay. Better quality. Okay. That's first. You know, that's going to happen. Now you're playing against pros. We're talking about the Julio Joneses, the Devontae Adams. Now you're talking about guys that can go get it. What it is, what you just got to do when you get there is just be able to catch up with the NFL game. You always hear pro players or coaches talk about the speed of the game. for all of us, including myself, I had trouble. It took me almost a year to catch up with the speed of the game. Once you catch up with the speed of the game, you can just go out there and just play, just react. And that's the one thing, even when you transition from like high school to college, it's just the speed is different. It's like when you're playing JV to varsity, varsity to college, college on the pro, if you're able to make it that far, it's just getting the speed down. And that's why a lot of guys struggle at every position. It doesn't matter if it's a right tackle, defense alignment, linebacker. It's just learning to get the playbook down. Then it's a learning to just get the speed of the game down. Let it slow down. Jerry Gray used to always tell his secondary, tell us guys, all the guys in that room. He used to say this, don't try to do too much. Allow the game to come to you. So what you do is just keep playing through. So when you're struggling, just play through it. But let it come to you. Let the game come to you. Jerry would say that all the time. Let it come to you. When you're struggling, let it come to you. When you're doing good, that means you've been able to adapt to the speed of the game. You've been able to kind of, you've gotten used to all of the tackling and all the other things that comes along with the game. The mental part of the game. When you get the mental part of the game down, then you just go out there like a Troy Polamalu or Ed Reed and you play fast. So it's just the speed. We see the potential. So the potential is there. It's just getting the mental part of the game down. And once he's able to do that, whoo, you just let it go. And that's what I love about him. He's going to pick this game up fast because he's had a dad that's played this game. So his dad can tell him about the speed. He can get his son, you know, tell him about this is what you need to do. That's the greatest thing or greatest addition by having a father that played for 9 years in the National Football League. They can tell you what to expect. And that's a huge bonus for any player to have.
When you look at least the guys that he has in his camp, it's going to be able to kind of, one, I mean, the coaching staff here, but just on top of that, he's at least been surrounded by people that are going to put him in the best position to be successful. I mean, he obviously signed on to go play at Washington under Chris Peterson. I think exceptionally high of Chris Peterson as a coach and just as a person in general. So I'm not worried about this guy as far as anything when you're talking about making sure he's giving it his all. They talk about his love for the game is truly exceptional in that, I mean, he just like eats and breathes football. So it's hard to ask for anything other than that when you're dealing with a player. D, I thought you had some good remarks there on ways in which he can improve. I'm going to leave you with any closing thoughts that you might have before we get out of here. But what do you got for me, my friend?
Well, I will say this, D. Debo, I'll say this. You know, when you get this kind of talent, that's a good thing for a defensive coordinator now, because when you have a secondary that can play lights out, you can be more aggressive now in your play calling. So if you coach Shane Bowen now, who's a defensive coordinator, and we talk about adding Jim Schwartz to that staff, now they can go out there this year and they can just probably just let it go. We saw some times last year they were a little bit tentative, especially in the back half. So now you think about it, Debo. You got Christian Fulton out of LSU, my man. You got the Jackrabbit. I love that nickname. We're not going to call him Janoris Jenkins no more. We're just going to refer to him as the Jackrabbit. You talk about Breon Borders. We both love Breon. We talked about how good those guys stepped up last year and played well. You talk about adding on the first rounder, Caleb, and Elijah Molden. You're talking about some Chris Jackson. I mean, this secondary, they've gotten younger, but you talk about at the cornerback position, they're stronger. And so now when you're talking about Anthony Midget and Scott Booker, the defensive back coach, you could go out there now and say, listen, we're going to be aggressive. You know, we're going to come out there. We're going to be more aggressive. That's what happens when you bring a lot of talent and you put it at a certain position. It allows you to change the way that you call games. That's why the draft is so important. It gives you hope. You know, it just gives you so much hope. So I'm excited because this is my position. You know, I love defensive backs. And I'm just excited about what he brings to the table. I'm just jacked up about this pick, man, because he is a ball hawk. I love it.
Yeah, man, that playmaking ability is something that this Titans defense and secondary in particular sure could use a boost for this coming season. But that is everything we have today on Meet the Class. As I said at the beginning of the show, if any news drops on Julio Jones and the prospect of him coming to the Titans, we'll be here for a bonus episode of Believe in Titans. But stay tuned for next week as we get ready to discuss the Titans' fourth-round pick, wide receiver Des Fitzpatrick out of Louisville. We'll break down his tape, what the Titans are adding at that receiving unit for a a group that could use a much needed spark, especially after losing Corey Davis. So we'll break down what Des Fitzpatrick brings to that group. But with that said, D, as always, my friend, I appreciate you coming on. I had a good time talking with you, even though we disagree. And it's more of an agreement, but we just have to find something, I guess. And we're at that point in our relationship where we just bicker about something, buddy. Yeah. I love you, my friend. But for those listening, as always, we appreciate you tuning in and supporting us. Always open to your feedback. So if you like to reach out, feel free to do so on Twitter. With that said, you have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by Bet Online. For Denard Walker, I am Davey Hudson. And as always, tighten up. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. And you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.